On Monday, the Women's Pro Soccer League suspended operations. Jennifer O'Sullivan, the league's CEO, said the ongoing legal battle with Dan Borislow, who owned the WPS franchise in Florida until the league terminated the team in October, had made it impossible for WPS to continue. A Florida judge ruled in January that the league had failed to follow its own procedures when it ousted Borislow, who, according to the league, had failed to fulfill his obligations as an owner and had embarrassed his players as well as the league. Both Jennifer O'Sullivan and the league chairman, Fitz Johnson, say they intend for the league to return in 2013. Christine Lilly, who played for the Boston Breakers in the WUSA until that league suspended operations in 2003 and then for the same team during the first 2 years of WPS, is among the optimists.
I believe in it. I believe in the product. I believe there is a place for a women's professional league. You know, everyone says, well, if I would have known, I would have helped more. Fans' job is to buy tickets, to come to the games and support the league. And it's not just supporting these women playing the league, it's supporting the future. And if we want women's soccer to be around, we all need to be part of making it happen.
Lilly, who played for the U.S. women's team from 1987 through 2010 and served as the team's captain for 4 years, is concerned that the suspension of the U.S. Pro League will make it harder to assemble a competitive national team.
It'll hurt. The national team, you pool, you only have about 30 to 35 people in a pool that you could bring in to constantly compete. The league opens the door to over 100 players, you know, so... You know, back in the day with the WSA, Shannon Box and Abby Wambach were products of the WSA. So the league does have a value.
Players coming out of college are not entirely without options. Lilly herself played in Sweden for a time, and there are women's leagues in England and Australia and various other countries. But except for a very few stars, the women who play in those leagues can't make a living at it. They have day jobs, and as Christine Lilly notes, those leagues offer limited opportunities for players to develop and improve.
They're just not leagues where we're trying to have people have full-time jobs. They're leagues where players work throughout the day and then go to practice at night and maybe have some compensation. That's great, but it just hurts us here in the United States. We want our players here. We want our players developing here, competing here to help our national team.
Meanwhile, by beating Costa Rica last week in the semifinals of their regional tournament, the U.S. team earned a trip to the London Olympics. On Sunday, the U.S. beat Canada 4-0 to win that tournament. It's 22 and a half minutes before the hour.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. Nuance, offering Dragon 11 speech recognition software for creating documents and emails and surfing the web all by speaking at nuance.com. And Oliver Wyman, a global management consulting firm with 3,000 professionals serving global 1,000 companies, oliverwyman.com. This is NPR.
At the San Francisco International Airport, the pictograph of a little fellow in full lotus position directs weary travelers to the yoga room. Within the soothing blue walls, bathed in low light, free from the relentless TV chatter of the concourse, passengers can stretch, decompress, or bend themselves into potentially inescapable positions. Michael McCarron, director of community affairs at the facility, believes this calm and quiet place is the first yoga room ever established at an airport. Santa Monica yoga teacher Tomal Dodge, who is thrilled with the place, said recently, "You are now given the opportunity to really relax and prepare your body to sit in an airplane for hours on end." There is no truth to the rumor that it costs $25 to bring a mat into the yoga room.